Welcome to Canada's National Bible Hour, a ministry of Mission Go. I'm Brian Albrecht, the President Emeritus and Director of Canada's National Bible Hour, and we are trying to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And Canada's National Bible Hour is one of our ministries to share the good news of the gospel around the world.
Today our scripture is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, which says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple." Isaiah the great prophet had a vision of the Lord. I believe it was a renewed vision, as he had already been in doing prophecy the first five chapters of Isaiah. And all of a sudden, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and it made a great impact upon his life. If you go and read the rest of the verses, you will find that the angels were hollering, "Holy, holy, holy." And the reaction that Isaiah had to this was, he said, "Woe to me." He saw his own sinfulness. And when he confessed his sin, he got right with God. And then God asked him, "Whom shall we send? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Send me." And I think this is something that all of us need to think about. We need to be in the Word of God and praying and have fresh revelations and see the Lord high and lifted up. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. And we need to bow the knee and confess our sins and get right with Him and walk with Him and sense His presence and do His will each day. And if we do that, we fulfill our purpose for our lives here on earth.
Thy faithfulness,
This is a radio edition of Global Times. Today we have in our studio Jerry and Connie Robinson, who are representatives in Western Canada for Global Outreach Mission. And they're telling us the story of their life and how the Lord has led and met their needs over the years. Today, Jerry's going to tell us about Costa Rica and how that all came about.
Connie's sister is a missionary in Costa Rica. When Connie's mother died, we thought it would be a good idea if we could go down and visit her sister and family in Costa Rica. So we took a little of the money that was left over after the funeral, and we decided to go there. So we went down to Costa Rica, and on the way we got to Miami, and we got to the airport. They started to announce that the plane was full that we were on, and they needed people to get bumped. If you take a bump, you'd get $300, and then it was $500, and then it was $800, and then it was $1,000 each if you take this bump. The kids didn't want to. We've got four kids, and they didn't want to get a bump because they're excited about going to Costa Rica. But when $1,000 came, I went up and I said, we'd be willing to take a bump. And she said, well, how many are in your party? I said, six. And she said, we've got just room for six more. And she, so we got a bump for $1,000 each. And so we went down to Costa Rica and visited her sister, and it was a great time. And one of the highlights was there was a lady by the name of Dorothy Rimple that took us up to a high-looking spot in Costa Rica, and we played hide-and-go-seek with the kids, and we had fun in the park. And as it was getting dark, Dorothy says, I want you to look down, way down in the valley there. She says, see those little lights coming on? She said, that is one of the darkest spots in Costa Rica. It's one of the most beautiful, but it's one of the darkest. They don't have hardly any witness of Jesus Christ there. And, you know, as the lights came on and it got darker and darker, I said, why don't we just pray that God would raise up somebody in that little valley? And so we prayed that God would send somebody in that valley. And then, you know, we went back home. And, of course, we had had this bump. So a couple years later, we decided we'd use the money that we had made on the bump to go again. So we went down and we got down to Miami, and Connie went to check how things were coming, and the lady looked into Connie's eyes. She says, oh, she says, we're going to be overbooked. And she said, would your party like to take a bump? Well, we had already taken a bump the time before, so we knew all about it because they had put us up for the night and fed us and gave us food vouchers. And so, of course, our kids were all for this. And so we took another bump of $500 each. And of course, then we had money to go again. And then after that, we had money to go again because we had enough points to go to Costa Rica again. And you know, this was, I think, God having a way of giving our hearts a picture of Costa Rica, because later on when we went down to Costa Rica, the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. And as he woke me up, he began to speak to me. And the first one he says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And then he said, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go bring forth fruit. And the next day, as I looked around, I could see all these lost people that needed Jesus Christ. And the next night, he woke me up again and led me to a verse. I am going to send you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And what better place than Costa Rica? And then I said, well, when, Lord? And, you know, the next night I woke up and he led me to this verse. It says, now, will ye not know it? And so I woke my wife up and I said, honey, I think God is calling us to Costa Rica. Well, she just laughed because she said, Jerry, you can't even learn one or two words in Spanish. How would you ever? I said, I don't know, but I said, I think God's got a ministry in Costa Rica. And that day we went down for breakfast, and Connie's sister said, you know, we're going on a paseo. That's an out trip. And we went for about 3 hours, and we went down to this little valley. And guess what? It was the same little valley that we had prayed for about 4 or 5 years before. And we met a lady by the name of Esther and Juan. They were friends of Connie's sister and brother-in-law. And they invited us in, and they started telling us the story, how they had got this property and they'd built it up and they wanted to be kind of a conference center for youth and kids and outreach. And she said she was getting older, and she said, we're looking for a couple to take this over. And she said we had bought it for $80,000, but it was worth about $200,000 to $350,000 because they had put that much money into it. And then she said, Jerry, what did you do in life? So I started telling her. She said, Jerry, I believe you're the couple for this. She said, I will give you this property for the $80,000. You know, and our hearts were just knit together.
Praise the Lord. What good stories they are.
It's been a real delight to have both of you in our studio today. And
this month, we would like to make available a booklet about stress written by June Hunt. June asked the question, how to cope at the end of your rope. Are you at your breaking point? Are the effects of an overcommitted schedule weighing you down? Do you feel that if you have just one more pressure added to your life, you will break? You need to know. Stress begins in the mind. There are physical warning signs of stress. Stress can be paralyzing, but stress can also be a motivator. Prayer, exercise, music, humor, and even pets can reduce stress. If we are not careful, stress can come between us and our relationship with God. Discover the biblical approach to stress and allow the right thinking to transform your mind. God wants to be your source of calm in stressful situations. To order your copy of the booklet Stress written by June Hunt, please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, on L2R7A7, or in the U.S., Box 2010, Buffalo, New York, 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program, and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. For any more questions, you can email us at media@missiongo.org.
If you, your friends from church, or family members are interested in more information about short-term or career ministry opportunities, or seeking someone to come to your church, or a group to speak about international missions, please call 866-483-5787 in Canada or 888-900-5048 in the United States or on the web, visit www.missiongo.org. so we can share more information.
Tempter's power. Who like thyself my guide and stay can be, through cloud and sunshine, O Lord, abide with me.
Today's message is from the Honorable Ernest C. Manning. Printed copies are available upon request.
As a scriptural background for our discussion today, may I read one of the parables Christ used when he was here to illustrate a set of circumstances that will prevail in his future kingdom of heaven, which he will establish on this earth when he returns. You'll find it recorded in Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30. While you're opening your Bibles to Matthew 13, 24, let me remind you, read it carefully together. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay. Lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barns. Later in the same chapter, we read that after the multitude to whom he had been speaking was gone away, his disciples came to him and asked him to explain the parable to them more fully. It says in verse 36, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares in the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear? Let him. The entire world and everyone in it, entirely free from every satanic evil influence and temptation. My, what an age that'll be. When Christ the Son of Righteousness arises and the day of his earthly kingdom comes, the products of both categories of seed will appear. In other words, there will be evident in the kingdom of heaven the consequences of our failure as his servants to be good watchmen in this present night while Christ is away. Paul says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Be vigilant and watch, for the enemy of God and truth will exploit every opportunity to plant his falsehoods in the field of the world, and the consequences will carry over into the kingdom which Christ will establish on this earth when he returns. You see, he has decreed that they shall not hurt or destroy in all his holy mountain or kingdom. So during his millennial reign, the human tares resulting from the seeds of falsehood the devil is sowing in the present age will be permitted to grow amongst the good seed of the incorruptible truth of God. What about you? Have you committed your life to him? Are you one of his people born again of the Spirit of God? If so, are you alert and vigilant to the efforts of the enemy of God and righteousness to sow falsehoods in the hearts and minds of men during this night in which we live, but which, as Paul says, is now far spent? Shortly the day will come when the Son of Righteousness arises at Christ's return. May we not see in that day tares about us in his kingdom, which are there because of our carelessness and sleepfulness in this day when we should be alert as servants and soldiers of
Jesus. It's hard to understand why Christ is still the Savior that so many never meet. People halfway round the world and right across the street, they've never heard of Jesus. Never called his name, and without his great love and hope in their lives, their world goes on unchanged, and they need help so. We all need him so. And I must let them go. Eyes look out each morning on another day, as faces speak of heartaches that their words might never say. From busy city corners to some strange and distant shore, how they need someone to tell them just what living's really for. They've never heard of Jesus. They've never called his name. And without his great you and I must let them know. We must let them know.
I know that you enjoyed the message that we just heard. I trust that God will use His Word in your life this week. Here at Canada's National Bible Hour, we're really concerned that people that listen to our broadcast have a clear opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. You know, the Bible teaches that there's two ways. There's a narrow way and there's a broad way. The broad way leads to destruction, unfortunately. But the narrow way leads to Christ. The problem that man has is the fact that we have a holy God and we are separated from Him because we are sinners by act and by our own nature. And so therefore, we need a Savior. And the Savior, of course, is God who became man, who went to the cross after living a sinless life and died there on our behalf. And so the gospel was really John 3:16, for God so loved, He loved the whole world, that He gave us the perfect gift, the Lord Jesus Christ, that whosoever, means anyone, everyone, could receive Christ as our Savior if they want to have a personal relationship with Him, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, go to hell, but have eternal life. That's the gospel. And so every person needs to know Christ personally. And you do that by asking Him to come into your life. And you can bow your head and say a simple prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. And the Bible tells us that if you're sincere and if you act in faith, you believe that Christ died for your sins, that you will be saved.
Remember to order your copy of the booklet Stress, written by June Hunt. Please write to Canada's National Bible Hour, Box 1210, St. Catharines, on L2R7A7, or in the United States, Box 2010, Buffalo, New York 14231. Thank you for listening to Canada's National Bible Hour. This is a listener-supported program and we would not be on the air without the support of our listeners. Visit our website at www.missiongo.org or email us at media@missiongo.org. Please remember us in your prayers.